6 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, time for the lunch rush. We take a look at the top stories trending nationally. Couple of sad ones here to start this out. Franco Harris, Hall of Famer, passed away at the age of 72. No cause of death was given at this point. And it's tough. It's never, obviously, it's always tough, but it's 2 days before the Steelers have their 50th anniversary of the play that provided the jolt with the immaculate reception that helped transform the Pittsburgh Steelers. So they're going to be celebrating. He'll be a part of that. He would have been a part of that celebration. So that's one of the greats right there. Franco Harris, 72 years old. Also, boy, this one's really tough. Former Broncos running back Ronnie Hillman is in hospice care, according to Orlando Franklin, who was one of his teammates. Orlando was an offensive tackle with the Broncos from 11 to 14. He tweeted out that Hillman's not doing well. That is a tough story. I think Ronnie's 30, 31. Boy, he has pneumonia. And I just don't know. I mean, at this point in hospice, that's just, I don't know. It really sucks, man. Ronnie Hillman was fun to watch. Ronnie Hillman was the leading rusher for the Broncos when they won the Super Bowl. I just remember something that sticks out about Ronnie Hillman was his mouthpiece. He was like one of the first guys that had like the vampire teeth on his mouthpiece kind of deal. So it stuck out. He was a heck of a football player. Or is a heck of a football. Well, he was. He retired, of course. I don't know. Praying for a miracle, I guess. So Ronnie Hillman, 31 years old. That sucks, man. That just sucks. Colts are benching Matt Ryan to start Nick Foles. I didn't even think Nick Foles was in the league anymore. I forgot about him.
Former Super Bowl MVP Nick
Foles? Nick Foles.
Wow.
Is he going to help save Jeff Saturday's job? Or earn him a job?
It's hard to say. It's hard to count out Nick Foles.
It is.
He will show up at the weirdest time and they'll win all their games.
They're going up against the Chargers on Monday night. So, we'll see.
That's a big game.
That is a big game. A playoff situation for the Chargers there. Can Nick Foles end some dreams? Can he shatter some hopes?
Is this a tanking move by the Colts?
Probably. Matt Ryan has been...
He's been bad, though.
He's been bad, but the line's been bad.
Jonathan Taylor's done for the year.
After they were... What was it? 33-0?
That was it. That was their whole season right there.
That was a chance to beat one of the, maybe a Super Bowl team in the Vikings.
That might have given Saturday another year.
Yeah, it really might have. You blow them out like that. But the fact they came all the way back and completed the best comeback in NFL history probably does the opposite now. Saturday is probably done. I would imagine so. College news, quarterback Arch Manning. Number two prospect in ESPN's 300, set to sign with Texas. How about that? It is signing day, by the way. Deion Sanders making some moves. Fort Collins, Coloradoans throwing out some moves for CSU as well. I don't know. I mean, if they're like ESPN 300, okay, then that at least that gets us talking. But you just never know. This is like the draft.
It's kind of weird, and this is not a dig at Arch, but he reminds me of Trevor Lawrence when he was a freshman at Clemson. There's so much hype, and like, oh, he's got the arm, he's got the size, he's got the legs, he can do all of it. He's like 19 years old.
Yeah.
Like, he hasn't played a single snap of college ball yet. Let's slow down on the Arch Manning hype. He's a great player, but slow down the hype a little bit.
Yeah, he went at Newman where he went. He was a four-year starter. He threw for 85, almost 8,600 yards, 115 touchdowns, and 20 interceptions. He ran for 11. He broke Eli's school record for passing yards and Peyton's for touchdowns. That's crazy. You break your uncle's record, you break your dad's record.
You got to wonder how much does that legacy affect him.
Oh, it's a lot to live up to. I mean, Peyton Manning is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
Not just Peyton. Or Eli.
His dad?
His dad.
Or his grandpa. and everything. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's just it's nuts, man, to see that this guy could be just maybe right in line. And Cooper Manning was ridiculous too, man. His dad, like, he was really good at Ole Miss at wide receiver, but he had some kind of health thing.
Yeah, he had a spinal injury, like, right before he was about to start playing at Ole Miss. That, like, completely just ended his career.
Look at the genes. Look at that football family. I mean, from Grandpa Manning to Peyton and Eli, and then Cooper was really good too. Peyton always said that actually Cooper, he thought that Cooper would have been the best of all of them had he been able to go to the next level. Yeah. We'll see. It is a big signing day, though. Big, big signing day. And Deion Sanders getting after it. You tell me. There's a high school guy, a running back, a four-star running back from Derby, Kansas High School. Dylan Edwards. So that's a big... You are seeing 3 and 4s. I'm just looking at the... There's another 3. An edge rusher is a 3. You see any 5s?
Not yet. Sure, you're still going to see throughout the day, but 24/7 Sports has CU at 53 on their team rankings.
Hmm.
CSU at 65.
No. That's not a big gap, considering...
No, I mean, CSU has 25 commits right now. CU has 16.
Any news on UNC?
I haven't seen anything from them today. I know there are kids signing with UNC today. I just haven't seen any official thing from their social media.
Hmm. Here's what I do for signing day. I just pick out things I'm interested in. So, like, for the Buffs, I'm just interested in stars. That's all I'm looking at. 3 and 4s. For CSU, I'm looking at offensive linemen. What do we got there? Chris Maxey, 6'5" Maxey, is a basketball player, too. He has signed today for CSU. So that's what I'm looking for. For UNC, what are you looking for?
Guys that want to come here and build a program.
I guess, and we don't really know, we won't know much about them. Because the coaches are all going to say they're great, we love them, excited. This is the draft. This is the draft on steroids. We have no idea. So all we can go off of is it a position of need, and are they studs? That's it. And for the Bears, like, I don't know what their position of need is. What were they bad in? You know, for the most part, to start the season, they were good defensively.
Coaching staff was pretty bad.
So they solved that, and, well, they're trying to solve that.
I think the defensive identity is still going to be there, especially if a guy like David Hogue comes back, or, you know, Jordan Apke, if he comes back. And it's really going to be about, can this offense figure out something? Can you put points up on the board? Jacob Sermon coming back as a quarterback. We don't know if he'll be the starter or not, but there will be continuity in terms of players with the Bears.
Yeah, some of those big names, are they coming in? Are they staying around? And everything I heard is that David Hogue is sticking around.
BYU players that might want to transfer over.
Yep, some BYU players. Cassidy Woods, I know, is another name where what I'm told is he's probably sticking around. Dixon, what time are we supposed to come by for the Christmas party? And do we need to bring anything? And will there be booze? Dixon, you can come on by. I don't have a problem with Hooligans coming by a Christmas party.
The arch nemesis?
Yeah, it's fine.
You're inviting the Grinch?
Yeah. We're invited. He's been pretty nice this week, though. You think he's just kind of in the holiday spirit? Everybody's kind of nice. Broncos forever. People can come back from hospice. It's happened before. Stay strong, Ronnie. Yeah. Yeah, well said. Beginner's luck. Isn't Brock Osweiler and Nick Foles and maybe a handful of other guys the ones who won as backups but never could be the main guy? Yeah, I mean, that's Brock Osweiler never won big as won some regular season games as a backup. I think they made it to the... Did they make it to the playoffs once when he was with Houston?
I have no idea.
And it wasn't like, I don't know. I don't know if I can put Brock Osweiler in the same category as Nick Foles. Nick Foles took over for Carson Wentz and was really good and was good in the Super Bowl.
Beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
What a weird thing.
That was a weird year. Who would have thought Philly, of all the teams that year, was going to win it?
Is that the strangest? I mean, they had a really good defense, but Carson Wentz was having an amazing year, and then he gets hurt, and you're thinking, okay. And then the Eagles go win with their backup quarterback.
That was a weird year. Like Jacksonville was in the AFC Championship.
That was. Was that Hackett still? Was that Hackett as the offensive coordinator for Jacksonville?
Mm-hmm.
What, that was a,
with
that
Blake
year,
Bortles.
That year doesn't count. That's a put an asterisk next to that. That's bubble year. I don't think it was, but
no, Brady was still in New England. That's a whole other era.
Yeah, it's
after 2020, it's a new era.
I would have felt better about Nick Foles beating Brady in the Super Bowl if Foles would have went on to be a good quarterback. Because then you go, okay, it's like Brady. The legend began there.
Because he went to Jacksonville that next year.
Yeah.
And then he
got
came
a big
in
contract,
for
right?
Gardner Minshew.
That's right.
Who will be starting this week in place of Jalen Hurts.
Oh, yes. Gardner, the legend continues. Eastside Chris, Brady, could the School of Mines ever play UNC? Is Mines D2?
I believe they are D2.
UNC could play a D2 team, right? They've played D2 teams. In football?
It's possible.
I think CSU would play.
FBS can play down to FCS. I don't know if Division I can play down to Division II.
I think so, but I don't know. He said, Chris, is the party at the Den? We'll see. 17 minutes after the hour. We'll get a quick break. We're going to talk to Mike Brohard with CSURams.com, get his thoughts on signing day and a big game tonight for Colorado State. They're going up against USC, so we'll talk to Mike next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and their coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Is Clay Millen going to get some help on that offensive line? Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. Before we get into that, Mike, because I want to get your specifics, tell me who's going to work out, who's going to be good. I want to know everything about these guys for signing day. Last night was a pretty fun night, at least for the Nuggets, but it was really cool to see David Roddy back in Colorado.
Yeah, it really was. And I know a lot of people from up around here went down to see him play. Go back down and see him again. And I know it meant something for him to see that kind of support when he came back to town. It was obviously a great night.
Well, and he was decked out in Rams colors too. So that was kind of cool. He was supporting the Rams, and the Grizzlies were tweeting saying, go Rams. So I mean, that's the kind of thing. That's what's neat when you can get these players go to the next level like that. It really starts to open people's eyes at what kind of great athletics we have going on in our own backyard.
Yeah, David's a smart kid. He knows how to read the room, and he's always been very appreciative of Nico Medved and the program and what it enabled him to become and how they helped groom him and develop him. And I think you'll always see that he's gonna have CSU near and dear to his heart.
Are you surprised at how good he's doing this year? I had a feeling, Mike, that he would get drafted in the first round. But rookies, you just never know. And he's actually a big piece to what Memphis is trying to do.
No, I mean, it's been great. And I guess in some ways I've stopped being surprised by some of these things. Trying to project how things are because each level's next. When David first got here, there were a lot of people like, what do you do with him? He doesn't fit into anything. And they figured out a great way to use him. And I think that's part of the reason why Memphis went after him is because they saw the same kind of things in him that Medved did when he recruited him, that he might not fit perfectly into somebody's, pre-drawn out space, but there's a space for him and he knows how to fill it.
Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. Okay, Mike. I'm seeing names. I'm seeing a lot of different names signing up to be a CSU Ram, and I don't know how to evaluate it. I know you do it in much of a more thorough sense. I just look, okay, what are positions of need? They need offensive linemen, so I just keep scrolling down to see how many offensive linemen the Rams are getting. But how do you? What's your process like in this? I mean, you see names and you go, okay, I'm excited, but I don't really know much about them until we see them out on the field.
Call me in 3 years.
I told you already. I got you in the calendar. Yeah. I'm going to ask you about every one of these guys in 3 years.
No, you got to look at it, especially at a place like Colorado State. It's development. You're going to get some of these kids that come in and they'll play right away, right? You know, you had a Justice Ross Simmons and Lewis Brown do it last year. You're going to get some of those kids. But, you know, like when you look at the offensive line group that CSU brought in, three of them are transfers. They expect them to be able to plug and help right away. But you don't expect a true freshman offensive lineman to come in and play. I mean, it very rarely happens. So that's development. And it's the same thing when you, especially with interior defensive linemen, the guys that are ready to play defensive line don't go to Colorado State. They go to Alabama and Georgia and places like that. So you've got to develop guys, and you've got to project that they're going to get bigger and that you look at their frame and you maybe look at dad and you maybe look at an older brother and go, yep, the kid can put on weight, so we're going to do that. Some of the skill positions, yeah, I think wide receiver is generally one of the easier spots for somebody to come in and play as a true freshman. But every single one of these guys will be given the opportunity to prove that they can play and take the field next year. And if they can do it, they'll use them, be it on special teams, be it regular rotation, and you know, the two deep on either offense or defense, they'll do that. But it's a big class. It fills a lot of holes, and there's still room for more to be added come up in February.
Is there anybody, is there a name, Mike, that sticks out to you? Is there an offensive lineman that sticks out that you think could, you know, get playing time as soon as next season?
I don't know who's ready to come in and play right away. They've got some athletes. I would also look at the linebacker spot, the guys that they're projecting as linebackers that could come in, because there's going to be an area of need there. These are high school kids. You haven't seen them all. You look at their tape and yeah, they look good, but what's the competition they're playing against?
Sure.
You know, some of them, they might be in the recruiting profile. They're 6'3", 275, but they're really 6'1", 250. You know, things like that. But you've also got some guys that just, they might have just lean frames. There are some very good players in here that were highly regarded by other folks. But I was also very, very neat to me. I think there's six kids in this class, no stars whatsoever to them. And the Colorado State coaching staff could not care less what other people think of these guys. They love them for who they are and what they do. You know, I look at a guy like, and I wrote a story about him already today, Jet Vincent. He played eight-man football in Kansas. Nobody knew who he was, or most people don't even know what his hometown, but a lot of career interceptions. And even though nobody was looking at him, as soon as Freddie Banks and Coach Vang found his tape, they looked at him, they liked him, the athleticism, the way he moved on the field, and they got him committed in October. He only had one offer, and that was from North Dakota. And they could care less because they think he fits what they do.
Well, Mike, I played eight-man football. If I would have known, you know, the eight-man football players can make. Hey, I think who's the stud? Why am I blanking out on the stud? The plays for the Cowboys, played for Boise State. Leighton Vander Esch. He played eight-man football, didn't he?
Darn straight.
Yeah, see?
Look, you know who else? You know who else played eight-man football?
Who else?
John Hell.
Really?
Yeah, he turned out to be pretty good.
I mean, yeah, six-man football, I don't understand. Eight-man football is basically the same as 11-man football. It's just less guys if you do the math. That's it. Six-man football is a completely different game, though.
Yeah, well, they're both fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're athletic, athleticism translates, you know. The other big thing about those classes, pretty much every single one of them is a two-sport or three-sport athlete. They actually do not like people that are just football players because they like to see versatility and athleticism. And they talked about that a little bit in the story, too. So,
well, I'll be checking that out because I'm curious. And again, like you said, it's
good, Brady, because you should read everything I write.
I read most of what you write. I don't read everything, but I don't read a lot anyway. But when I am reading, I'm reading your stuff, of course.
That's good. I'm glad you hear that.
You got to get educated. You got to learn. You got to learn about Colorado State, and you are there in depth covering this team. Tell me about this guy, Mike. This 6'5", 240-pound tight end. Is it Dallin Holker? Is that right?
Yeah, from BYU.
Yeah, BYU. Like, that's a big get, isn't it?
Yeah, he's an interesting get, that's for sure, because he played early, took his mission, came back. He was one of those guys that didn't like where things were headed for him at BYU, so he, you know, entered the portal, left the team three games into the season. He's actually a package deal for us because his wife is a really good track athlete, and she signed today with the track team.
So that's cool.
We got a two-for-one deal there, which is really nice. But, yeah, I mean, he's interesting because, you know, they're looking for specific types of tight ends, and he seems to fit the bill for them.
Yeah. Well, you know, one guy I was really, like Tanner Arkin, I was really hoping he was going to work out. But he didn't have the season he wanted, of course, and then he moved on. But this guy, you know, just reading up on him, seeing what he can do, he might be exciting. Might work right into the mix next season.
When you get a transfer, that's kind of what you hope for, is that they're automatic depth. Even if they're not a starter, they give you depth. Because that's what Jay talked a lot about last year was, it's not just depth and to help you overcome injuries. You need depth in every position room to ramp up the competition so that your ones are getting better, your twos are getting better. If there's no competition, nobody to push a player, they kind of get stagnant. They plateau. So that was another big thing that they needed to do was create some competition in a few position rooms.
Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. Mike, I know we talk CSU primarily, but, you know, down south there in Boulder, do you think it's going to work out that with Deion Sanders? Do you think this whole thing's going to work out? I mean, he's got a great name, and he's going to attract some players, but there is this part of me, and Mike, you know this, I like to go negative once in a while, believe it or not, and I'm having a weird feeling. I wonder if this is really going to work out for Colorado.
I know Colorado hopes it works out because they're trying to raise a lot of money to make it work out, but... Yeah, it's going to be one of those things. It's really interesting. He did a really good job in the SWAC. Does that translate with what he needs to do in the Pac-12 against bigger, better competition? I think some people are still on the fence about that. Is Deion really a good coach? He can attract players, but can he get them to play together? These are going to be some things that you're going to end up. I mean, I think it's going to be interesting to watch. It really is.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't, you know, I mean, a lot of things seem like a good fit, especially when it comes to coaching hires. And then for one reason or another, they don't work out. So I'm not surprised anymore. I don't think anything's ever a surefire fit, but it's going to be interesting. I mean, let's put it this way, for CU, for a program that's been down for a long, long time, they've generated a lot of buzz, and they needed that right now. And that's something that athletic department can run with for the next 6 months, because until then, they are undefeated and everybody feels great.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's generating a buzz. Everybody's feeling great about it right now. We'll see what it looks like when they take the field next season. A big game tonight for Colorado State on the men's basketball side of things. They just, all they did was went and beat St. Mary's the other night, and now they have USC tonight. But that was a really nice win for Colorado State, especially, you know, after that CU game and everything. That was nice to see the Rams bounce back and beat a good, especially defensively, a good St. Mary's team.
Yeah, St. Mary's is one of those teams that's tricky. It's going to look good on their resume, that win, especially to win on the road. Yeah, it was. You needed to get that taste of CU out of your mouth, get going forward again, and that is a big win for them. Now you're going to go up against the USC team that's just pretty talented, and you're doing it on the road. You're going to want to make sure that you can kind of keep that momentum going. You want to build off of it at least and step up, because right around the corner is conference play, and that's where a lot of things will get decided.
Yeah, well, this should be a fun one tonight. Mike, appreciate you, man, for joining us each and every week. And I'm off next week, so I'm just telling you, I'm out. So we'll catch up in a couple of weeks, and we'll see how things are going. But Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, man. We're thankful that you can jump on the show and help us talk all things Colorado State.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on. Merry Christmas to you and your audience, your loyal audience, your hooligans. So, yeah, best of the holiday season to all of you.
All right, my friend. Mike, we'll catch up soon. That beer is going to happen. I know. One way or the other, it's going to happen. We're going to grab a beer together soon.
That sounds good with me.
All right, man. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. I always bug him. He lives, like, in my neighborhood somewhere, but I don't know where exactly. So I'll figure it out. One of these days, I'm going to be standing out there, and I'm going to be like, dude, it's time. It's time to go grab that beer we've been talking about for a while. Actually, I have... Grab beers with Mike. Mike's a good dude. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Method Flow Products poll question of the day, I should say. Is this year? Is this the year? Is this the season that the Nuggets get it done? We'll talk about that coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Hey, man, who's that cat coming down the street?
I don't know, but it sounds to me like that whistling man with the bone.
Sure having himself a ball.
It's less about working harder and much more about working smarter. I mean, to elaborate, you know, I'm playing with Jokic, who's one of the smartest basketball players in the world. Got to raise my level of IQ to help him, to help everyone.
And Jokic will feed, and Gordon is there. And they knock it in. Cut, but a block inside right there by the defensive-minded Aaron Gordon as Jackson comes up. And then slammed in by Gordon right over Jackson.
He's playing around the rim, and because of that, he's been ultra-efficient.
Dylan Gordon, what a pass by Jokic. And the three, good. Aaron Gordon right between the eyes. Gordon drives and throws down the anvil.
Oh, a little Harlem Globetrotter feel there. That's what the Joker looked like last night. He had some ridiculous passes. 13 points, 13 assists, 13 rebounds. Pretty easy. 13, 13, 13. But we wanted to play that clip from Aaron Gordon, who had 24 points last night, 9 of 16. Because that clip, wasn't that clip from last year? That clip was when Aaron Gordon and the Nuggets were eliminated from the playoffs, and Gordon spent a lot of time talking about, okay, dude, I gotta reconfigure how I'm gonna be a basketball player here, because I play with Nikola Jokic, I play with a ridiculous passer that's gonna get me the basketball, so I need to live in the paint, I need to stop settling for three. He took two threes last night. How many times have you seen Gordon this year? Just take it from the corner. Instead of taking a three, he makes a little move and cuts to the basket with the ball, without the ball. He is living at the paint. He's got to lead the league in dunks. He's got to be up there. But that, to me, Joker is going to be Joker. He is going to do this stuff. We know it. But it wasn't good enough for the Nuggets to do much last year. Joker was the MVP, the two-time MVP. And they were eliminated in the first round. Because that alone wasn't good enough. And why should it be? I mean, Ja Morant alone can't do it. He needs his supporting cast to go to the next level. Steph Curry, take Klay Thompson out, take Draymond Green out. The Warriors aren't winning a championship. Sorry, it's a team game. It is. You got to have your studs. But Aaron Gordon has been the difference maker for the Nuggets. And he's the second best player on the team. But right now, outside of Joker, is the most important player.
Definitely. He has brought himself a new, I guess, sense of urgency, but it's really calmed him down a little bit. You know, he's solid on the defensive side, but when you're on the offense, he realized, I am lacking in this specific area of my game. I know I have the talent. I know I have the skills to be at this level, but I'm working with a guy that has so much more talent that I have to catch up to complement him, while also helping myself.
Yeah. And that how often do you hear players say, these are things I got to work on? And you kind of see it, and maybe sometimes you don't. But Aaron Gordon has stayed consistent with, okay, I have to live in the paint. I have to be a big man. I've got to dunk it. I've got to use my body, the physicality that he has. And then I've got to use my vision. Cut to the basket. When Joker has his back to the basket, I got to be doing stuff. And that has been, to me, one of the biggest differences I've seen in this Nuggets team in their 19-11 start to the season. They're now the top seed in the West. They're 10-3 at home. I think Aaron Gordon has been... Now, there's a lot of good going on with this team. But Aaron Gordon has been a difference maker. Because see what happened? Joker didn't need to score 30 points last night. They win 105-91. It's not like the game was so out of hand either that the Joker was pulled with like 8 minutes left in the fourth. He was pulled with like 2 minutes left. But they win 105-91 based on a monster defensive performance. And Nikola Jokic doing triple-double stuff, but Aaron Gordon filling the box score with points and boards. That was huge. There was a lot of stuff to take from this game last night. Christian Brown gets the start. Jamal Murray is given an off day or whatever. And Christian Brown, the rookie, gets the first start. I wonder what the thinking was there for that. Because you go Christian Brown, you go KCP, you go Bruce Brown, you go Joker, you go Aaron Gordon. Instead of going with a Naji or anything like that, they just matched up well with Christian Brown doing that because you wanted him to guard Ja Morant. That was kind of the thought process there. And Morant had 35 points, but it's one of those games where it didn't feel like he had 35 points.
No, Christian was asked after the game how he felt about his defensive performance, and he said, like, I thought I was doing a pretty good job, and then I looked up and Ja had 30 points, so I don't know.
He's 12 of 26.
Ja Morant. He's going to get his points.
He's going to get 35 points. He's going to get 30 points, and that doesn't – the great players in this league don't – the points don't always mean everything. Did he have a really good game that night? Was anybody else – I mean, nobody else was scoring. He had 35. Brooks had 11. That was the next in line there. Whereas the Nuggets, you know, they're sitting at – Joker had 13. They were spread out. Gordon had 24. Brown had 16. You had Bones Highland had 12 off the bench. Hey, Jeff Green's throwing down tomahawk dunks like he's 18 years old.
What is he doing out there?
I don't know.
Jeff has been so, like, quiet in terms of, like, team or just people talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll go out and just do something ridiculous. You're like, who is this guy? I thought he was an old guy.
I thought he was, too. He can get up. He was all over the place. This was a great team win last night for the Nuggets defensively. But even though, again, Joker had 13 points, I still think the point total is going to hurt him in the decision down the road. But if you win games on national television like that, that's how you turn heads. And that's what they did last night.
His streak of the last 5-6 games, He's turned it on. He's starting to hit that, you know, that groove of where he can go out any given night, turn it on, just put up 40, or take a step back and just facilitate. And I think that speaks to his MVP, you know, status.
Was it somebody on TNT last night that just said they love how Nikola Jokic decides how he wants to win a game tonight? Like, in the game, he goes, okay. Because you could tell. You could tell he wasn't interested in stuffing the box score with points. You could just see it. Early on, we talked about that too. Like, early on, if they're struggling, he might try to take over with points. But they jumped out the gates like 16-2 or something like that. So Joker just backed away and said, okay, this is going to be one of those games where I'm going to let the tools around me, I'm going to utilize the tools around me and just get 13 assists. And that's what's really impressive about him. He's so good of a player that he can win in three different areas, passing or dominating the boards or scoring or sometimes all three. It's really fascinating to watch. I heard Tanner bring this up today, the old trade Jamal Murray thing. Here's where I sit on that. You know, he's been inconsistent. Maybe that's who he is as a player. Maybe that's who he is. I don't know. We're still young into the season. And he's just bouncing back from being out for two seasons, essentially, or two and a half, or whatever, or one and a half, whatever you want to call it. This just might be who he is. That might be the player Jamal Murray goes down to be, is just an inconsistent player that's really good on his best days and very mediocre on his worst days. But you're the number one seed in the West. Trade Jamal Murray. And now you're spending another month to try to get everybody to gel? Because if you trade Jamal, it's probably not a straight-across trade for another good player. It's probably a package deal with two nice players or something like that. And so then you got to ask those nice players coming in to gel within a month. Plus, your bench is all weird. If you trade Jamal for a lesser player, then, you know, a Christian Brown or a Bones Highland moves up in the depth chart, but then your bench is depleted from that. So it makes zero sense today to talk about Jamal Murray being traded, but let's call it what it is. He hasn't lived up to bubble Murray at all. Not even close. And then he gets hurt. Can he be a consistent scorer and star in this league?
I think he can be. I think we're underestimating the mental hurdle he's still trying to get over with his knee. And, you know, that's different for every player, and you can't just say, hey, Jamal, just get over it. Like, look what you did against OKC. Like, you're fine. You're going to be fine. As an athlete, that's hard to personally get yourself over that kind of hurdle. But I still think he can be consistent. I don't think you don't need him to drop 40 points a game. You don't need Jokic to drop 40 points a game unless he wants to. And Jamal is such an integral part of the way this offense runs with the two-man game with him and Jokic. And that chemistry has been built up over the last, you know, 5-6 years. It's hard to get rid of that and just say, just figure it out.
Just to play devil's advocate, though, it does seem like the chemistry that he has with Gordon, who he's had less time with, and again, different player, easier to feed him down in the paint. His chemistry with Gordon is better. He has a decent chemistry with Christian Brown. He has a pretty decent chemistry with Bruce Brown right now and KCP. Jeff Green. So my only thought there is the chemistry's good. When those two are on, it's really fun to watch, but it has been a little bit of a few and far between for Jamal. And Joker's connecting with everybody else. Christian Brown, I had a tweet last night. Somebody tweeted me and said, is Christian Brown, can he play his way into the starting role this year? I'm saying no, and I love Christian Brown. I'm all in on that guy. But then I stopped to think about it. I was like, if he can play defense like that, on a guard like that, and provide rebounding, because for a little guard, he can rebound pretty good. He's a sound player. But I don't see him as a starter yet. However, should Jamal Murray be looking over his shoulder a little bit? Are we really thinking about that right now? Because I had a feeling Christian Brown was going to be a nice part to this team, but he had a really good game last night. John Morant's 35 points, that doesn't scare me at all. It's the NBA, it happens. I just wonder if Jamal, the pressure's on to start figuring this out. I don't think a trade is coming, but 5-10 games of this where Brown's looking good and Jamal's throwing out 7 points, you at least are those conversations are at least ramping up anyway. Or at least if they're not at all, they're at least starting a conversation.
Yeah, and I mean, the inconsistency with Murray is, like, you know, he will have a 30-point game and then a 20-point, and then it, like, goes down, and then it goes back up and down. Like, I don't think, granted, it's only, like, December, I don't think we've seen enough inconsistency to be, like, overly concerned, like, we need to get rid of this guy.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, too.
If he's playing like this in, like, February, March,
yes,
then you start getting concerned.
Then you get concerned and you start looking. Do we need to take a break or do we got... Okay, well, let's take a quick break. But yeah, if he's playing like that in February, you're obviously going to be stuck with him, but then you are having a conversation in the offseason if you don't get what you want this year, if you don't make it to the finals. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I'm looking at some of the local kids and where they've gone. I do have a UNC name for you. KJ Smedley from Palmer Ridge, listed as an athlete. He's going to UNC. That is the only one I'm seeing here. You got Silas Evans out of George Washington going to Colorado State. Tanner Morley, Valor Christian, offensive lineman going to Colorado State. He's a 3-star. So that'll be interesting. Just looking at local names that I might recognize that are staying local. Not a lot, not a ton. Tell Wade out of Wyoming is, well, I guess he's Wyoming. He's a DN staying in Wyoming. Cherry Creek, there's a Cherry Creek kid, Hake Zalinkis, something like that, offensive lineman, going to Colorado. 3-star. All right, we'll take a quick break. We got Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, to join us. What does he know about any of these names at this point? We'll talk to Mark, the voice of the Buffs, coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.